The Lord's so good to us, is He not? Amen. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Hebrews, chapter 10. We begin reading in verse number 19. Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. But Father, we thank You for this time and how good You are to us to give us another opportunity to be back in this place. And I pray that tonight You would meet with us. In these next few moments that we have together, Lord, I pray that it would be something that would speak to our hearts and lives, encourage us and help us and strengthen us. Lord, if there be one here tonight that's not saved, I pray that tonight would be the night they trust Thee. Lord, for those of us that are saved, I pray tonight we would become more consecrated to Thee, to Thy will. And I pray that You'll help me. God, please help me as I stand to preach. I need You, Lord. I can't do this in my own strength. My ability is so weak and so much of a failure. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would do a great work in this place tonight. And we'll thank You for what's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We come to this passage of Scripture. It's often used when preachers are talking about how we ought to be faithful to the house of God. And it should be. It's pretty clear about it. And I was reading this one time and thinking about it, and I remember just jotting a few things down and thinking about people that don't come back to church. You know, they're always there, you know, or they'll come on Sunday mornings, but you don't really get to see them a whole lot other than that. And I began to look at this passage of Scripture, and God began to show me some things about why certain people may not come back to the house of God. Why they may be absent, why they may not be as faithful to the house of God as they should be. And now, when I was writing this down, I wrote some obvious things down, and I believe there are some obvious reasons. First of all, I think health is a reason. Sometimes people just can't make it, you know, and God knows all about that. These providential things, things that happen in our lives that we have no control over many times are things we can't control. And then maybe abilities. I know some people who may have good health, but they can't drive at night and they can't be out after dark. Certainly, that's natural. We realize that. We understand that. There's people that have workplace priority. They have to be at work. I remember when I used to work a swing shift or we had a 12-hour rotating schedule, and I had to work 2 out of every 4 weekends a month. And I had to work 2 out of every 4 Sundays. And I remember many times I would work from 6 o'clock Saturday night to 6 o'clock Sunday morning, and then I'd go to church on Sunday morning, and I was there, you know. I may not have gotten a whole lot out of it, but I was there. And God always blessed me for it, though, and He always gave me something, and He helped me so much. And sometimes it could be maybe a spouse. Maybe it's somebody you're married to, and you have to keep that peace, you know. You have to watch yourself, and that's sad to say, but certainly that's true. We realize there's things that are obvious that just people can't come back. And they do well sometimes just to make it on a Sunday morning. They work hard at just being here on Sunday morning, and they come, and it's like a special retreat every opportunity they get into the house of God. And we thank the Lord for those that make that special opportunity and put that foot forward and really strive to be here and work at it and just come. And they're always such a blessing because you know that they really don't feel good or they really are struggling, but there they are. And I want you to know they encourage those of us that are here all the time because we have good health. And we're thinking, you know, if we were like they were, we'd probably never be able to be at the house of God. We think things like that. But let's look at the Scripture and see some other reasons tonight. First of all, I think many have never experienced the true and living way. The Bible says in verse number 20, "By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh." In other words, tonight, a lot of people don't come back because they've never really had that experience of being born again. And they don't have the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of them. And when the Holy Spirit's there, it's hard for me to understand how people can just flippantly miss the house of God with no reason or with no excuse. And I have to go and I have to think that many of them may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I'm not the judge of that. Only God is the judge of that. But I think that's an obvious reason tonight, don't you? That if some people are not saved, they may not understand the need to be in the house of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit to provoke them, to help them, to encourage them. Another thing is many don't take this life very seriously. The Bible says in verse 21, having an high priest over the house of God, or over that house of God, that's talking about the believers. They don't realize the seriousness of what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that we have an high priest over this body of believers. When we come, we're coming through being obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved and heaven's going to be your home. But how many Christians you know that really just are not serious about this church life, you know? Anytime I talk to somebody and they convince me that they're saved, but they say, you know, I could worship God just as good at home as I can at church, then I'm going to tell you something, they're not taking this life too seriously. They're not taking the Christian life the way they ought to take the Christian life. You cannot tell me and you cannot find any excuse in the Word of God that just because you think you can worship God out in the wild blue yonder or out in the green pastures or out on the golf course or the rivers with a fishing pole in your hand, I can worship God just as good there. Look, there's times people get away. I don't know if we really ever have an excuse to miss church. You understand what I'm saying? We may make excuses. But there are some people, they have more excuses not to be here than they ever have to be here. I don't think we're taking that life too seriously. Don't you feel empty when you miss church? Don't you feel like you've missed something? I mean, let's just say for instance, what if our Sunday school teachers decided to stay home? Not because of physical reasons or something. They just decided to stay home. What if Miss Angie decided to stay home this morning and you had, 12 in your Sunday school class? Biggest crowd you've had in quite a while. It's exciting, wasn't it? What if she just decided, you know, I've got a little bit of a headache or something. You know, I'm not talking about dire sickness. What if Miss Renee, you had 11 in your class? That's pretty exciting, wasn't it? You know, they would have missed that. See, you miss something every time. But a lot of people just don't take this stuff too seriously. You know, they talk a big talk and they say, I want to do this and I want to do that. But they don't take the life serious enough and they just miss the house of God. And then many people just waver in their faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We're in a battle. There is a devil that's out there, and he is always throwing things at us to try to make us waver in our faith. And he's going to put things before us, even good things sometimes. Right? Somebody drops by. Hadn't seen him in quite a while, and somebody drops by. You understand what I'm saying? If the Lord Jesus was there, what would you do? If you had people drop by and the Lord Jesus just happens to be there and you'd say, well, I think I'll just stay home from the house of God tonight. You know, that place that you've given us where we can go and worship you in spirit and in truth. That place that's been set aside and dedicated for the worship of Almighty God. You know, that church, that place that you love, you know, those people you love, the church is the people, and you gave yourself for it. But I hadn't seen these people in a couple months, and so, you know, it's not going to hurt to stay home. I promise you, if the Lord Jesus were sitting in your living room, and those other people were sitting in your living room, and you looked at the Lord Jesus, you're going to say, I'm going to church tonight. You understand what I'm saying? But the devil has a way of putting things in front of us that makes us waver in our faith. And we find reasons not to. Now, just, we're getting to the meat of it here in just a moment, because see, I'm going to get off those why people don't come to church, and I'm going to get on to what we can do about it. Okay? So hang on. Then another thing is many, they're saved, but they really don't realize the impact that their faithfulness has. Many just don't really realize the impact their faithfulness has. They don't understand what a blessing it is to others. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Were you encouraged by the good crowd in Sunday school this morning, Miss Renee? Miss Angie? Were you encouraged by that crowd? That it provoked you and it excited you and it got you stirred up a little bit. And we had a good number in Sunday school this morning. And then we had a good number in our church service this morning. We had 124 in our church service this morning. We had 86 in our Sunday school this morning. It's the highest crowd we've had. We've not been in the 80s in a long, long time. Wasn't you excited about that? Isn't that, don't that just thrill you to think about that? You want to know why you got excited? Those of us that are here so much of the time, those 65 to 70 of us that are here every Sunday, you'll know why it was a little bit more exciting, because you saw some new faces, or you saw somebody you hadn't seen in a while, and all of a sudden they were here, and they provoked us, and they got us a little bit excited. What a lot of people don't realize is how it affects other people. It affects them certainly when they stay away, but it affects them in a great way when they're here. So there's a lot of reasons why many people don't come back to church on Sunday night. Many never experienced the true and living way. Many don't take this life seriously. Many people waver in the faith, and many do not realize the impact that their faithfulness has. So what can we do about it? What can we do? We look around, don't we all agree on these things tonight, that these are things that keep people away outside of the providential things like our failing bodies and work and things like that, that just absolutely has to happen, that we have no control over whatsoever. We realize that those things are going to happen in life, but these are things that we all see in people, right? I mean, don't you look at some people and think, I wonder if they've ever really been saved? We're not the judge of it, but I wonder, have they ever really been saved? How could they, you know, just hit and miss, hit and miss, hit and miss? And then, but we're, you know, God's the judge. And then we look at people and say, you know, why don't they take this more seriously? We have been in homes, and people will say something like this, I want to be more involved in church. And in the things that are going on, and we're like, that's great. We're excited. We want you to be. But they're never more than a Sunday morning Christian. Let me ask you something. You going to let somebody that just comes on Sunday morning teach a Sunday school class? I don't think so. I'm not. And I don't think as a church we should. Unless it's somebody that's given their life to it and their health absolutely forbids them and they have to suffer through, I'm just not going to do it. You know, we want people that's committed. A lot of people just, they don't see that. Then there's these that waver in their faith and then they don't realize the impact. So here's what we can do. Number one, it's going to be quick. You better be ready. First thing we can do is we can pray. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We need to learn to pray for people. And to pray that God would do a work in their life, that they'd get serious at this business about God and about His service and about His church. We need to pray that if they're not saved, that the Holy Spirit of God would do something to get a grip on their life and they would realize their need of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, entering into the holiest place has more power than all the begging and pleading we can do with people. Because the Holy Ghost of God can change people's lives in a way that we can't. Prayer works when nothing else will. We can try and beg and, you know, plead. But when we talk to God, we can get what God can do. And what God can do is great and mighty things. I think of all the epistles that Paul wrote. If you'll read those epistles, you're going to see, he'll say, I'm always making mention of you in my prayers. I'm praying for you. The Lord Jesus, speaking to Peter, says, I've prayed for thee. What a difference prayer makes. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you realize that we can go into the very throne room of God and we can talk to a holy God because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is now a part of our life and has been applied to our life? Do you realize that mountains can be moved through prayer? Dear friends, the Lord Jesus said that if we pray in faith believing, great things can happen. We need to begin to pray for people and ask God to do something. We get excited about Sunday morning, good crowds on Sunday morning, but I want you to understand this. I get excited about a Sunday night crowd that's good and a Wednesday night crowd that's good. I think I get a little bit more excited about that than I do Sunday morning crowds. Something that just excites me about it, you know? I think, well, we have great Sunday night crowds and Wednesday night crowds compared statistically, you know? But still, yeah, it could be better. There are a lot of people that they just don't know what they're missing. They don't see it. So we can talk to them, but we need to pray for them. We'll talk about talking to them here in just a moment. But we need to pray. And let's make a commitment. Maybe you think of somebody that doesn't come and begin to pray for that person. Think of somebody that's not so faithful and begin to pray for them. Begin to pray for them. And we're going to see some other things in just a moment. Begin to pray for them. Number two, not only pray, we're going to have to prove some things. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. A lot of people don't come back to church, and sometimes they don't come every now and then on Sunday mornings because of a lack of authenticity among those that are faithful. Now, when I say that, I'm not looking at anybody and thinking of anybody in particular. I hope you know that. But God knows all about us. He knows everything about us, and we need to be authentic in our life. And the thing is people can see through us many times. People can see us for who we are. And dear friends, we need to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We talk about that they were wavering in their faith, but if they see somebody that's rock solid, they'll have somebody that they can look to. And they'll have some proof that it's good to serve God. To be honest, if we were on the outside looking at a lot of the people that we know claim to be Christians, looking in on them, many of us would probably say, I don't know if I want that life. Because it's like they're always waiting. We have a lot of people that have Sunday talk and then have Monday talk. I'm not talking about this church. Now, if you do, God help us to get that taken care of. You understand what I mean? Right? I'm not standing here, I'm not accusing or blaming. I'm just saying if that's you, if you're a Sunday Christian and then on Monday you're not the same person, then that's hypocrisy and we're not going to do much good in the work for the Lord. As a matter of fact, we're not going to do any good in the work for the Lord. But we need to realize that a lot of people waver in their faith because they see those that are faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night waver in their faith. I've heard people say something like this, you know, well, they go to church all the time and look at how they live. You see what I'm saying? We're going to have to prove to people that the Christian life is the greatest life in all the world. And the way we do that is we hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. I mean, I'm telling you, we are anchored in the rock of ages, and we prove to the world that there's nothing greater in all the world than living for Jesus. Boy, when you're living for Jesus, the blessings, the assurances that you have, and the peace, and the joy, and the contentment that Christ brings, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of trials, in the midst of troubles, is the greatest thing in all the world, because you know that your faith is anchored in that rock of ages. We have to prove some things. So what can we do about these that don't come back? We pray. We prove. And thirdly, we provoke. We provoke. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This word provoke, it's insinuating that we encourage one another. When we see people, it's not putting them down, but it's trying to pick them up. That's provoking to love and to good works. We do that by the proving and the praying. If you're praying for somebody, you can prove to them how good it is to serve the Lord, and then you can begin to provoke them. You can begin to encourage them. But if you're not praying for them and you're not living a life that proves these truths, then you're not going to do much at provoking and to love and to good works. It all works together, doesn't it? We need to learn to provoke one another, to encourage. When I say provoke, you know, we prod along the way. We encourage along the way. And we try to help somebody by saying, you know, we sure would love to see you in church tonight. We have great Sunday night services, great Wednesday night services. You know, we have our services on Sunday night, Wednesday night, are a whole lot like our services on Sunday morning. We have a choir. We have special singing. As a matter of fact, sometimes we have more special singing on those nights, and we have different things that we do. We pray together on Wednesday nights. That's a great thing. And it's always a sweet time and a sweet service together. And, you know, I believe you're missing some wonderful things in your life. And I sure would love to see you back. Provoke unto love and to good works. Help people along the way. Encourage them. But I'll tell you what's not going to work. When you go up to somebody like Brother Matt and you say something like, well, where were you? Were you home watching the ball game again? Huh? What's the matter? Going to overtime and want to miss the end of it? Well, that's good. God will get you for that. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to do a whole lot of good. Now, I just tell you, you're not going to do a whole lot of good. You won't lay out of church up there either, you know. You get away from Mom. He's an adult, but, you know, you live, he's at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're going to go up there to church Sunday morning. But don't have to worry about him, because he always wants to be there. But there's those that don't. And the way to get them here is not to sit there and tell them about all their bad faults and bad deeds. Just go up to them and tell them what good things God does. And if they're truly saved, that'll begin to work in their life. If they have that faith in Christ, if they've experienced the new and living way, they'll have to listen. And then when you do, God's Word and the testimony of God's people will not fail. You say, you mean they'll come? No, I'm not saying that they'll come for sure, but I'll tell you this, they'll think about it. And those words will come back to them, and they're going to hear you say, you know, God really, every time we have one of those services, you know, just tell somebody, God really met with us Sunday night. We can talk about it on Sunday mornings. They're here. But tell them what God does for us on Sunday nights. Provoke them. Pray for them. Prove that the Christian life is good to live and it's real. And then begin to provoke people. I mean, let it be contagious, you know. Overflow. We need some overflowing Christians. We need our cup to be running over again. Whatever happened to people that when you were around them all the time, they were just bubbling over all the time? Well, the troubles of the world and the sorrows and the heartaches. But dear friends, as dark as the world is getting, our future is getting brighter and brighter all the time. And guess what? He promised. Every time two or three of us are gathered together in His name, that He's there. So you can tell them every time God met with us. God met with us. It may not be some super duper hallelujah, people running the aisles kind of service, but I'll promise you this, if we come together in the name of Jesus, God meets with us. And we ought to be telling people, the Lord met with us. He's done some great things, provoking. And then finally, we have to practice. Practice what we preach. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. If God's given you the health, and God's given you the ability, and God's given you the strength, then you need to practice what this verse says. And don't be a hit and miss Christian. You be one of those that when you say, we missed you, they'll know that, well, here's somebody that's speaking to me that's always there. They never miss. They're faithful all the time. It'll mean something then. But if it's somebody, now you got to look around tonight, and most of the people that are here tonight, other than some that's got some sicknesses, not been able to be here, most of y'all are here 90% of the time. You could say something like that to somebody, and it'll mean something. But some people that just are here about half the time, they could say something, and you know what that person's thinking? Well, you old hypocrite. I don't even see you here half the time on Sunday mornings. Now, sometimes it could be because of working, and that other person don't know. Let God be the judge of that. But we have to practice this. Let's work at it. This is the way that churches can go forward. And churches can move. We have to move along together. We're not all at the same place. But as one group is moving forward, the group that may not be as spiritually mature ought to be moving forward too. And it is our responsibility, it is our responsibility to bring people along. Right? It is our responsibility to provoke, to encourage, to pick them up, to help them out, to strengthen along the way. A lot of people don't come back to church on Sunday night. Let's add another thing, because they don't know what they're missing. Well, how are they going to find out what they're missing? Well, first, the easiest way would be to come. But how are they going to come? When you start telling them what they're missing. Now, I'm not talking about rubbing it in their faces. I'm not talking about putting it out there and rubbing their nose in it. I'm just talking about going to somebody and say, you know, God's really been blessing us in some of our night services, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, and I've been praying for you. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help you to come. Or, you know, just find a way. Ask God to give you words to say. Kind, pleasant, loving words that'll encourage somebody. A lot of us, we want to just tell everybody their faults. But let's not look for their faults. Because you realize when we start looking at others' faults, it opens our faults up to others. I have too many to be trying to pick on everybody else's faults. I don't want them to know all about mine. The one that really matters already knows about mine, and he's forgiven me. And if they've been saved, God's forgiven those. So instead of finding the wrong things, let's encourage them with the right things. You know, I gotta quit. Let me say it this way. Go to somebody that may be here on Sunday mornings or something. You can go to them and say, you're such a blessing to me. I love to see you come through the doors on Sunday morning. And I've been praying for you that God will help you make a way for you to make it back maybe at a night service. I believe God will bless you. I believe he'll work in your heart. Now see, they can hear me say that. And you know what they're going to think? That's just the preacher talking. He's trying to build a church. I'm not in the church building business. That's Christ's job. But I say it to people all the time. I've said it to more people than you could possibly imagine here in this church. I sure wish you'd try to make it back on Sunday night. But if they hear it from somebody that's not the preacher, then I think it might encourage them even a little bit more. Don't you? Because they're thinking, well, you know what? This is somebody that there's somebody that's not really in front of people all the time. They may sing or something, but, you know, preacher, he's up there all the time. He's always ranting and raving about something, stomping and snorting, you know, and spitting. I spit a lot. I'm good. That's why our first few rows aren't. They were full. I was never so glad when Brother Vic went to the back so Brother Mickey could come up front. And he goes away and he's had his showers of blessings, but to hear it from somebody, you know, that's not the preacher, it really does help. You are what's going to help this church to grow. Now, I have to be faithful in the Word of God. And every preacher we have here has to be faithful in the Word of God. But people aren't going to come back so much for the preacher as they are for the friend that they have that may sit with them, that may call them every now and then, that may be a part of their life in a different way than what the pastor could be. That's how a church grows. And that's how we need to grow. When anybody comes through that door, you determine, I'm going to be friendly, and if God makes a way, I'm going to be a friend. And we need to learn, it's good to be friendly, but it's greater to have friends. We ought to always be friendly, but everybody needs friends. May the Lord help us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this time. I hope, Lord, it's been something that's been a help. I know it's what you put in my heart. And I pray that it's made a difference in our lives as we just ponder upon it. Lord, I realize it's something that I think we have to digest. I pray that you'll help us to do that. Not only tonight as we come to this time of invitation, but as the weeks, days and weeks go by, Lord, may it be something that just we think about. Lord, we become challenged with making a difference in other people's lives by doing these four things. Realizing that there may be all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses for people not coming back, but understanding that the way to get people here is to pray for them and to prove our faithfulness to Christ and provoke them and to practice these things. May they see an example in us, Lord. I realize you are the example, but Lord, may they see an example of a faithful Christian in each of us. We'll thank and praise you for what's accomplished. We pray these things in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it's a little bit different. It's a different kind of a message than what I usually...